Good morning. I call this regularly scheduled meeting of the Public Service Commission to order. It is 10 o'clock on Wednesday, May 5th. I'm Commissioner Julie Fedorchak. Also present with me are Commissioner Randy Crispin and Commissioner Brian Krosius, so we have a quorum. I do not have any opening comments yet this morning, so Commissioner Crispin, I'll turn it over to you.
I do not either. I'm going to start the meeting.
All righty.
No opening comments.
All righty. Just hop right to the agenda. We have a number of items on consent agenda and approval of the April 14th minutes. I move passage of these items.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
Thank you, Steve. Let's see here. Get my stuff in the right order. Okay, I have two agenda items. I move the commission approve the tree and shrub mitigation plans filed on April 12th, 2021, and allow one-year extensions based on 2021 drought conditions in Aurora Wind Project LLC 345 KV transmission line, Williams and Montreal siting application, case number PU-18-351, and in Aurora Wind Project LLC, Aurora Wind Project, Williams County siting application, case number PU-18-352.
Second.
So last month, Aurora Wind filed these two tree and shrub mitigation plans pursuant to the order that we approved in May of 2019 for this project. Prior to construction, they did the field evaluation and identified how many plants needed were going to be impacted, the numbers that would need to be replaced, et cetera. Two noteworthy things here are that this plan has been developed and written based on our old tree and shrub mitigation plan requirements. We did reach out to the company in the last couple of weeks and offer that they could submit a plan under the new guidelines, which are less restrictive and a little bit more general. And results driven, and they determined that they preferred to just move forward under the old model. So that's what they're going to be doing here, and we did though include the ability for them to delay by a year the plantings based on drought conditions if they so desire, and they'll make that evaluation. So those are the two noteworthy items on this motion. I will say as an aside that this triggered a conversation between PUD staff and I to evaluate where we are with the tree and shrub plans in general, with the old model and the new model and how many. And so I think in the end, Pat will be bringing forward some suggestions for, because there's a number of, it really brought to light where each and every case that we have cited is in terms of tree and shrub plans, because they reviewed everything, and which ones are under the old regime, which ones are under the new regime, which ones haven't filed one yet, which are delayed in doing that and should have filed and haven't, and, you know, all of these sorts of things. So we'll be doing some letters to the companies, those who are tardy in filing their tree and shrub plan, and in some cases, offering them the opportunity to file under the new proposal. In other cases, requiring them to if they haven't done any, because it is easier for us to keep track of them under the new regime. And then just really kind of did a once over of all of the tree and shrub plans. And I think it's really going to result in more clarity and good follow-up on the plans moving forward. So thank you, Pat, for doing all that work and doing kind of an inventory of where we're at. I think it's been helpful. So
we have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
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 All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
Thank you, Steve. And my second motion, I move the commission deem complete the application for a certificate of site compatibility conditioned on receipt at least 30 days prior to the hearing of the final site layout plan, including updated figures 1 through 10, of the application with the associated GIS shapefiles and all updated studies, including updated sound, shadow flicker, and telecommunications studies, and issue a notice of filing and notice of hearing in Bowman Wind LLC 208.7 megawatt Bowman Wind Project, Bowman County Siting Application, case number PU-21-121.
Second.
So this motion establishes a public hearing on this application for June 24th of this year at 9 a.m. Central Time, 8 a.m. Mountain Time at Bowman Lodge and Convention Center in Bowman, North Dakota. We will be reviewing the application for this wind project. Again, it's a 208.7 megawatt wind facility being produced by or developed by Apex Wind. It is a $420 million project, and it impacts 42,144 acres in southwest North Dakota. And interestingly, the study acres were 104,000 acres of were studied to evaluate and develop this plan. So it's a pretty sizable impact. It's located between between Bowman and Rame, and moving south from there. So with that, I think that provides a little bit of information about the project and where we're going next with it.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
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 All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
And that concludes my portfolio, so I'll turn it over to Randy.
Okay. I move the commission publish notice of the 2021-2022 telecommunications relay service surcharge in the daily newspapers of general circulation in the state of North Dakota Public Service Commission, telecommunications relay service miscellaneous case, case number PU-21-148.
Second.
So this is another rendition of one that we've heard before, but for a refresher, back on April 21st of 1993, Governor Ed Schaefer signed legislation that established a program to provide specialized telecommunications services and equipment to the communications impaired. The Relay Services Program is funded by an access line surcharge paid by the customers of the local exchange companies and radio communications service providers. So before June 1st of each year, we calculate the amount of the surcharge based on cost data and other information that we get from ITD. And we've calculated the 2021-22 surcharge to be included in the bills, and that comes to 3 cents per access line per month.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion?
I don't have any discussion, but I always look forward to this motion because it allows us to think about Ed Schaefer.
That's why I always include that.
I'll have to text him later.
Many good memories, too. Yep.
Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
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 All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
And the second one, I move the commission adopt the order granting request for auction school course approval in Continental Auctioneers School. Auction school course approval online, application case number AU-21-153.
Second.
So under the Century Code, the auction school must apply to us to have its courses of study approved for use by North Dakota residents. The in-residence course for Continental Auctioneers School, which is located at Buffalo Center, Iowa, was approved way back in January of 1994. So they've been around a long time. And then a few weeks ago, on April 19th, they filed a request for course approval for their online course. So staff worked with the school personnel to obtain all the required information, and that was all filed recently. To be approved, the course of study must include several things. A, They have to require students to complete at least 60 hours of study in the presence of school instructors and at least 40 hours under the supervision of a licensed auctioneer that has at least 5 years of experience. B, they have to provide instruction in ethics, bid calling, sales management, advertising, contracts, accounting and bookkeeping, real estate appraisals, closing statements, license law, uniform commercial codes, tax collection, bulk sales, and firearms. So it's a complex business. And then C, they have to maintain a grading system that permits the issuance of diplomas or certificates only to students who successfully demonstrate competence in all the required areas of study. And the auction school must provide us with a copy of the test instruments and grading standards used to determine that student competence. So Continental exceeds the required hours and also provided additional information relating to how the validation of the student's ID during enrollment in this online course, verification of the student's identity during the course, and tracking of their attendance and course progress. So the request for approval is in order, and staff also recommends that that we approve the online course of study for Continental Auctioneer School.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion?
This was fun to see, too, because I think it was the last session already that we talked about this. And was it during the session that we had law approved or changed to approve, or did we do that in rules? I can't remember, but it felt like it was during legislature where we made some changes to allow for online auctioning, auction schools.
I don't remember either exactly the exact timing of that, but it seems like about that long ago, so it may have had to do with the last session. It's been evolving here for a while.
Yeah, and then discussing the parameters and what needed to be included, so this is the first one, isn't it, or not?
I'm almost thinking we had one other one.
Okay, all right. Well, you would remember better than I did, but.
But Conrad and Shelley have been very thorough in evaluating these and making sure that we're not approving one of these where it's just basically selling a certificate and that you can slide by based on something being online and not really have to learn anything. So I think we've got a good handle on this to make sure that these prospective auctioneers actually get the kind of training that North Dakota law requires.
Yeah, it is. And it's one of those small things, but it's really important because people's whole estates are put up for auction and their whole life's work is invested in and handed over to these folks that need to be trained well and gone through the proper course. And so I do appreciate the seriousness with which Conrad and Shelley take the review of these online programs and ensure that they verify identity and all of those important things. So, and I know you've been really instrumental in overseeing that and making sure that that's done well. So thank you and good
job.
Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
And that concludes my portfolio.
All righty. Commissioner Cautious, you have just a few items on the agenda today.
I do, Madam Chair. I see we're 14 minutes into the meeting. You each averaged 7. I don't know that I will make that numbers.
Let's try to finish by 11, okay?
We'll do our best. Do our best. Okay, my first item, I move the commission adopt the findings of fact, conclusions of law and order in Montana Dakota Utilities Company, 2020 natural gas rate increase, application case number PU-20-379.
Second.
Okay, this dates back to the proceeding on August 26th, 2020. MDU and Great Plains Natural Gas filed with the commission a combined increase in rates for natural gas service. And on October 26th of 2020 as well, as a part of that application and a notice for an interim increase in gas rates, the interim increase was approximately $6.9 million. and that was effective on January 1 of 2021. And on December 16th, following that application, we did issue an order approving the interim rate increase. And then again, that was effective on January 1st, 2021. And then on January 6th, 2021, we issued a notice of opportunity of public input sessions and hearing and scheduled public input sessions, which took place on March 2nd. And we scheduled the formal hearing for March 17th. On March 11th, MDU and the Public Utility, our Public Service Advocacy, Public Service Commission advocacy staff filed with the commission a settlement agreement that I think it would be fair to say that the commission, the commissioners during our discussion still had some concerns with that particular settlement agreement. The intervener, I believe, also expressed some concern. But following that, staff was directed to work with the company. The parties came back together and then entered into what turned out to be a unanimous settlement agreement on April 9th. And that resolved the issues. And one of the biggest issues was the impact to the residential rate class. And again, that was during our work session. That was a concern that I believe was voiced by each of the commissioners. So subsequent to that, the allocation percentages were changed and the impact of the residential class did decrease as a result of that discussion. So as a part of this, approving this particular order, this is always the number that people really want to know, the impact to a residential customer, average residential customer for MDU would be $4.21 per month. For Great Plains, it would be $3.62 per month, keeping in mind that the last rate case was submitted by MDU in 2017, so approximately 3 years ago, if you look at when that proceeding concluded to this one, if you average that over 3 years, it's $1.40 per year average on the MDU side, $1.20 per year on the Great Plains side. So I think that's an important point. One of the drivers of this change in rates is tied to the system safety and reliability improvements that the company has been implementing. And this really stems back, and even beyond the 2017 rate case, but the company at that time did bring forward a plan in terms of system improvement. And this ties back to old steel, old vintage steel pipe, and also, I believe it's called Aldelay, plastic pipe that was manufactured and installed approximately between 1960 and 1980, that while it still has life in many instances, still has some life left in it, it hasn't performed as well as it was touted at the time, unfortunately. So we're seeing a slight acceleration in terms of replacing that line for distribution systems in communities that MDU is serving across the state. But again, going back to 2017, what they did, they being the company, they provided a risk assessment by community that they serve. And they have started at the top of that list, essentially, completing replacement projects in New Salem, Taylor, Glen Ullin. I believe they're going to conclude Dickinson this year, if I remember correctly, and a number of other North Dakota communities. So they're working through that risk, working through the list, starting essentially with the highest risk ratios in terms of how the pipe is aged and the need to replace it. And it's important that this pipe is replaced. When you look at what happens in other parts of the country when systems aren't maintained properly, there's a safety aspect and a safety concern related to that. And just a couple of examples, 2018, one dead, 25 injured following a series of natural gas explosions in Massachusetts. In 2019, I always have a hard time saying that as well. Massachusetts. So it just doesn't work. It doesn't work well with my Norwegian accent, apparently. In 2019, another fatality, others injured, and 9 houses were damaged in Kentucky, a gas pipeline explosion occurring there. 2020 in Florida, there was a massive fire. When a gas line ruptured, 800 homes were evacuated. And sometimes these are transmission lines, sometimes they're distribution systems. But there's definitely that safety aspect that we have to keep in mind. And I view our job as regulators, our role is to balance system safety and reliability with cost. We want to keep delivery of natural gas to the customers in North Dakota as low as possible, but at the same time ensuring that it arrives at each household in a safe and efficient manner. And North Dakota does continue to be one of the lower price states in terms of natural gas service. That's worth noting as well. So, but going back, just one final point on the 2017 proceeding that we asked the company, we did not approve the replacement plan at that time. We asked them to come back with more information. They did in 2019. That was the risk assessment that I talked about earlier. They brought that before the commission. We had a meeting. We met with the company. We discussed that. And I believe they're on the right track and doing the right thing. And one part of that testimony in the 2017 rate case that I appreciated was the fact that the company indicated that these projects oftentimes are coordinated with city or state street projects to optimize efficiency gains when that work is being done. So whenever they can do that, there is a cost savings associated with that, and I was happy that they pointed that out. So one final note, the interim rates that are currently in effect I'll just give the change in what customers currently have been seeing on their bill since the interim rate was implemented on January 1st to what it will change to if this order is approved. For MDU, it will be an increase of 64 cents. And then the Great Plains customers, which is essentially the Wahpeton area, would be $2.85. So a slight change on the MDU side of 64 cents compared to what they have been seeing over the past 4 or 5 billing cycles. And most importantly, I think, I think the unsung heroes in all of this would be staff members. Advocacy staff works tirelessly. And I can confidently say they put more time into the analysis, looking at the numbers, vetting the application. And I know they're listening. So thank you for the work that you did, both on the advocacy and advisory side, as well as the work from my fellow commissioners. Put a lot of time and effort into this, and I think we arrived at a fair point.
Is there any further discussion?
I know what you meant on advocacy staff and probably staff in general, but our advisory staff was very helpful, too.
I mentioned them as well, I believe.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry.
Just a couple thoughts on this, too. So this is one of our biggest areas of bodies of work at the commission. It's one, I mean, we have a lot of important things that we do, and this is one of them. But regulating the investor-owned utilities who have a monopoly in our communities is a significant role, and it's an important one that we take seriously, and it takes a very long time. So they filed this application in August, and here we are in May coming to a conclusion on what we think is an appropriate amount of increase in the rates that gets them to where they need to go. And it's a balancing act, like Brian was saying. We have to provide the resources so they can invest in the safety of the system. But also we want to make sure that we aren't providing too much so that the system isn't it doesn't overburden the rate payers and that it's still affordable. So this, I think, does three important things. First, it minimizes the impact on residential customers versus what was originally applied in the application for the company. It improves the parity of rates, and by that I mean it makes sure that each of the rate classes is contributing its, you know, a right share of its costs to the system. And so we made some significant strides in this rate case to improve that, to decrease the dependence on some of the business customers that we're subsidizing, essentially subsidizing the residential customers. And so that improves the fairness of the rates. It does result in a larger impact on residential customers in this case, but it's not nearly as large as what was originally proposed. So we appreciate the intervener's impact on this case in that regard, and that's the AARP. And it's important to note that they signed on to these rates and feel that we made, you know, I would assume because they signed on to the settlement, feel that we made the appropriate changes in that area. And then finally, most importantly, as Brian mentioned, I just want to add on a tish, is it significantly improves the safety of the system. So MDU has gone through their system. They have identified the key areas of concern, and those are low-pressure systems that are kind of dated. Those can cause problems, safety problems. Early vintage and bare steel and early vintage plastic pipes, which is this ALDA A, and those have been targeted, and I believe they have gone through and are continuing to go through. But a lot of investments have already been made in Richardton. I'm just going to list all the communities because I think it's important for them to know: Richardton, Barlow, North Dakota, Cleveland, Eldridge, Fairview, Taylor, Gladstone, Glen Ullin, New Salem, and Dickinson. 10 communities and those investments started back in 2017 to 2019. There was $11 million, and then the company is anticipating $43 million additional invested in 2020 to 2024. So they are taking doing some significant replacements in the system to get rid of this more risky pipe. And that does result in a safer system for everybody. And we can't emphasize enough that this is a system that leads up to, for people who use natural gas, this leads up right into their home. And so there's a very low margin of error for things to go wrong without causing significant problems for our communities and the residents that live there and people in their homes and businesses. So it's not something we take lightly, nor is it something that the company takes lightly. And I feel like we are, through this rate case, reaching the proper balance again of providing the essential resources for the company to make these investments in a prudent way without overburdening regulators or the ratepayers, and that's an important balance to meet. So thanks to all who worked on this, and Brian, for your leadership as a portfolio holder.
Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
Okay, my next item, believing that there will be no prejudice to the rights of the parties or the public interest in finding the cases involve similar questions of law and fact, I move the Commission consolidate the caption cases for hearing under North Dakota Administrative Code Section 69-02-04-04 and issue a notice of consolidated hearing in Northern States Power Company Advance Prudence 4 Repowered Wind Projects Application Case Number PU-20-425 and in Northern States Power Company Advanced Prudence 120 megawatt Northern Wind Facility Application Case Number PU-21-93.
Second.
think this is pretty explanatory. We're consolidating the hearings. And with that said, that consolidated hearing is scheduled to begin September 30th, 2021 at 8:30 a.m. Central Daylight Time in the Commission Hearing Room here at the State Capitol. This ties back to an application that was filed by Northern States Power on October 13th, 2020. And that would be case number PU-20-425. That would be for the four NSP-owned wind projects. They have a combined total generating capacity of 650 megawatts. And then on March 3rd of 2021, in case number PU-21-93, NSP filed an application for an advanced determination of prudence for the acquisition of a 120-megawatt repowered wind facility in Murray County, Minnesota. On May 5th, 2021, as mentioned, the Commission consolidated the two cases, and the issue to be considered in both matters is whether NSP should be granted an advanced determination of prudence that is proposed, and that its proposed resource addition is prudent. And for more information, we can be contacted here at the Public Service Commission at the State Capitol, 701-328-2400.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
Okay, my next item, I move the Commission issue a notice of public hearing to Northern States Power Company, Advanced Prudence, 200 megawatt Heartland Divide Wind 2 application, case number PU-20-433.
Second.
A public hearing on the application in case number PU-20-433 is scheduled to begin June 10th, 2021 at 8:15 a.m. Central Daylight Time in the Commission Hearing Room, again here at the State Capitol. On October 30th, 2020, Northern States Power Company filed an application for an advanced determination of prudence for an agreement to purchase energy generation from a 200-megawatt facility, energy facility, otherwise known as the Heartland Divide 2 Wind Energy Facility. The issue to be considered in this matter is whether NSP should be granted an advanced determination that the proposed resource addition is prudent. And once again, if anyone desires more information, they can contact the Public Service Commission here at the State Capitol.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
I move the Commission issue a notice of public hearing in Northern States Power Company 2021 electric rate increase application case number PU-20-441.
Second.
Please take notice that beginning on July 21st, 2021 at 9 a.m. Central Time, the Commission will conduct a public hearing in the Commission Hearing Room on the 12th floor of the State Capitol here in Bismarck. On November 6th, 2020, Northern States Power Company, also known as Xcel Energy, filed with the Commission an increase in rates for electric service. NSP's proposed rates would result in an increase in its annual North Dakota electric service revenue of on that particular, when they filed it, it was a revenue request, an increase of approximately $22 million. Interim rates were approved by the Commission on December 16th, 2020. On March 26th, 2021, NSP filed with the Commission an update in this proceeding, reducing the requested increase to North Dakota Electric retail revenues from the approximately $22 million to approximately $19 million, which was a reduction of 9.3%. The issues to be considered in this matter are, what is the value of NSP's property used and useful for the service and convenience of the public in North Dakota? What is NSP's rate of return on its property, again, used and useful for the service and convenience of the public of North Dakota? What are just and reasonable rates of return? what rates and charges are necessary to provide a just and reasonable rate of return on NSP's property, and are NSP's rate schedules designed in such a manner that they result in the basis in a basis of charge to its customers. Again, that is just and reasonable without discrimination. For more information, individuals can contact the Public Service Commission here at the State Capitol.
We have a motion and a second. Is there further discussion?
Commissioner Crosius, I was just double-checking this date because I thought it might conflict with NARUC, and it does, and I see on our calendars that we had held the 22nd and the 23rd of July, and so I didn't notice this until now that they had picked the 21st, and I don't anticipate that I will be here. So
that is
we might need to adjust that date. I'm not sure what happened with that.
Right, I'm looking at the hold in July. We have the hold for the 21st through the 23rd, but I do recall the NARUC discussion.
See, I don't have the hold on the 21st on my calendar.
It's on mine.
Huh. Well, that's weird. It doesn't show on mine, but it does show NARUC. So,
do you know if is the schedule determined?
It's likely to be in person in Denver.
Okay, I was going to say maybe we could start at noon if it was being done virtually because sometimes they kind of wrap up.
Right. Yeah. So do you know if the 22nd wasn't available or?
Well, I think we have time to, we could hold this over, move it to scheduling.
Sure, okay.
Discuss at that point in time during the meeting, and I believe we would still have adequate time, correct, Pat, since it's a July 21st, or if we change it to a July 22nd hearing. Okay. Start date?
If you decide on the date, we can still
change today, yeah.
Today. Or we can.
Well, why don't we hold this, have our discussion during admin, and then we can vote on this particular order at the end of the meeting.
Yeah.
That is okay, Madam Chair.
Just before I proceed with that, as we contemplate it, wasn't some of the point of the hold? I don't think that's held for 3 days to choose one. I think it was held for 3 days because it might take that long.
Correct.
So if we switch it to Thursday, then where's the third day?
Right. Or we could, or we might switch it to a 1 o'clock start time on Wednesday as well. I think something to discuss. I'm flexible.
Yeah, I just wanted to point out, I think that was a 3 day block as opposed to an option
okay.
to pick a day from.
It was.
We will hold that item after the discussion on admin.
Yeah, we might have to find a new area on the calendar.
Okay, and we'll have to talk about why doesn't the hold show up on Wednesday on my calendar.
Yep.
How does the system do
obviously
that?
We have a problem there.
Okay. So just to be clear, I think I had mentioned we're not holding this over. We're just
holding it until the end of the meeting.
Hitting pause, if you will, and we'll circle back to that if appropriate. Okay, next on my agenda, I move the Commission issue a notice of opportunity for hearing the Montana Dakota Utilities Company cost of gas 2021 tariff monthly adjustments, case number PU-21-8.
Second.
On April 27th, 2021, MDU filed an application for a variance in its surcharge adjustment pursuant to the terms of its cost of gas. Natural gas rate 88 tariff. The proposed change would extend the time for recovery of the undercollected balance of the cost of gas adjustment from 12 months to 16 months from June 1st, 2021 through September 30th, 2022. And the issues to be considered are whether the proposed rate change is just and reasonable and whether it's appropriate to grant a waiver of the Commission's rules under North Dakota Administrative Code. Those interested are invited to comment on the application in writing. Persons desiring a hearing must file a written request identifying their interest in the proceeding and the reasons for requesting a hearing. Comments and requests for hearing must be received by May 25th, 2021. And this ties back to, I've heard it described in many different ways, but the event that occurred in February, the widespread cold, the associated problems down in the southern part of the United States in particular, with wellheads freezing, natural gas prices spiked. MDU did come in before the commission during an informal hearing. We discussed various options with them related to this. The impact to a residential customer, I believe, would be in the $80 to $100 range. And we're looking for the intent is to find a palatable mechanism to spread those costs out. It's important that people do realize that the utilities that provide natural gas service that we regulate do not profit from the sale of gas. And in fact, on a side note, we will have Northern States Power will be before the commission this afternoon describing what their impact is on the ratepayer, and we'll learn a little bit more about how they go about securing gas contracts, pricing mechanisms, et cetera. So it's something that we'll continue looking at. And again, this is a notice of opportunity for hearing. Where we eventually land is yet to be determined, but it is, I think, a part of a growing concern in terms of natural gas pipeline infrastructure in the United States overall. The ability to move gas to market and then pricing impacts when you have extreme weather events, which the system realistically should be designed for. It should be designed in such a way to handle those extreme events, and perhaps it wasn't the distribution system as much as it was wellhead freezing in Texas in particular, and the inability to move gas from the wellhead to market that put pressure on the entire system in the Midwest all the way up into the Dakotas, and unfortunately it was felt by ratepayers or will be felt by ratepayers, but still more discussion to be had on that topic.
Madam Chair, I believe before we...
Let's finish this and then go back.
We have a motion and a second. Is there further discussion?
I don't have anything more.
All in favor signify by saying aye.
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 All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
Okay. Commissioner Crosius, you made a motion on the last case, the NSP case, that we are moving over to the admin. Could you make a motion to rescind that and move it to admin discussion, and we can vote on that and tidy that up?
Rescind that motion, and we'll make a motion later.
I move to rescind the previous motion made related to item BK4, case number PU-20-441, and to move that to admin discussion.
Second.
All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
It is rescinded.
Okay, BK6, I move the commission adopt the order in Otter Tail Power Company 2021 LED Street and Area Lighting, Dusk to Dawn, Tariff and Rates, case number PU-21-76.
Second.
On February 3rd, 2021, Otter Tail Power Company filed a change to Section 11.07 of its outdoor street and area lighting tariffs. They filed changes, I should say. Otter Tail Power requests approval of a new decorative outdoor lighting options and tariff language clarification changes. Otter Tail Power also proposes new lighting rates for primary metered customers. On February 17th, the Commission issued a notice of opportunity for hearing, provided until March 22nd for receiving comments and hearing requests. No response was received related to that. This is about decorative lighting that various municipalities choose to put in a downtown area, for example. They're typically, I think, a 12 to 14 foot decorative pole. A lot of times to me they look like a vintage lighting type of a system with, of course, the globe on top. It's important to note that the municipalities that choose this option either buy or lease these lights or the right to use those lights if Otter Tail Power should happen to own the system. And I guess it's worked both ways. But the cost is specific to that town or city. It's a decision made at the local level by local officials, and it impacts that specific population if a city chooses to go that route. So Otter Tail Power did come in. They explained this to us during an informal hearing. I was very comfortable. I think it's really about local choice, and if a city or town wants to beautify their downtown area with these types of lights, I think as long as they are the ones bearing the cost, which is the case, that's their choice. So I support this motion.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion?
Nothing substantive other than I really liked the lights that they picked. They were very pretty, and I look forward to seeing them in some North Dakota towns who may so choose to select them, because they are very quaint, and I think they'll look nice in some of our towns. But they do come with an extra cost, so to decide. There must be some interest, though, because they did bring it forward. So we can look forward to some of our small towns, small Otter Tail powered towns, having some vintage lighting in their downtown areas.
Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
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 All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
All right, next, I move the Commission issue a notice of opportunity for hearing in Otter Tail Power Company, Advanced Prudence, Advanced Metering Infrastructure, application case number PU-21-83.
Second.
On February 15th, 2021, Otter Tail Power Company filed an application for an advanced determination of prudence for the company's proposed investments in a demand response system based on advanced metering, also known as Advanced Metering Infrastructure, or AMA. Otter Tail Power believes AMI will improve reliability, enhance customer control, and save money on meter reading logistics. The issues to be considered are whether the proposed resource addition is prudent and whether the Commission should grant an advanced determination of prudence to Otter Tail Power. Those interested are invited to comment on the application in writing. Persons desiring a hearing must file a written request identifying their interest in the proceeding and the reasons for requesting a hearing. Comments and requests for hearing must be received by June 18th, 2021. And this will be an interesting case. Currently, 99% of Otter Tail's 77,000 customer meters in North Dakota must be manually read. 37,000 square miles of service territory is the area involved, and Otter Tail projects that there will be a $43 million savings over the 20-year life of the project, essentially because they're not sending people out into the field as they currently do. Also, a benefit to customers, they will have access to usage information, which could lead to energy savings with smart thermostats within their home. They can take that information, and there might be other options down the road for consumer savings as well. And the company, at the same time, can also use the information to better assess their resource adequacy and what future additions they may need as well. So I look forward to the hearing. I think it has some interesting aspects to it. And again, just look forward to hearing the information.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
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 All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
Okay, I'm getting down to the tail end. I move the commission issue a notice of opportunity for hearing a Northern States Power Company petition accounting Northern States or Northern Natural Gas Refund Approval Case Number PU-21-87.
Second.
On February 15th, 2021, NSP filed a request for a waiver of its cost of gas tariff in order to apply the North Dakota jurisdictional allocation of a refund from Northern Natural Gas to partially offset the deferred costs of remediating the Fargo manufacturing plant site. The refund is a result of an interim rate refund relative to pipeline transportation rates paid by NSP. The issues to be considered in this matter are whether the proposed credit is just and reasonable and whether it is appropriate to grant a waiver of the Commission's rules under North Dakota Administrative Code. Those interested are invited to comment on the application in writing. Persons desiring a hearing must file a written request identifying their interest in the proceedings and reasons for requesting a hearing. Comments and requests for hearings must be received. And requests for a hearing must be received by June 19th, 2021.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion?
I would just add, I probably should have mentioned this. The refund amount overall that Northern States Power would receive across its entire system is $4.4 million. North Dakota's share is $551,000, so it's really to determine where to apply that credit, that refund.
Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
Okay, and the good news, this is my last item. I move the commission adopt the order in Otter Tail Power Company Generation Resource Cost Recovery Rates Case number PU-21-92.
Second.
On March 2nd, 2021, Otter Tail Power Company filed an annual rate update under its generation resource cost recovery tariff. On March 17th, 2021, the commission issued a notice of opportunity for hearing, which provided until April 26, 2021, for receiving written comments and hearing requests. No response was received. Otter Tail Power proposes a GRCR factor of 5.179% of customer bills to recover actual and forecasted costs through June 2022 for the Astoria Natural Gas Plant project and net savings associated with the retirement of Otter Tail Power's Hoot Lake Plant. Otter Tail Power proposes to recover approximately 5.15 million during the recovery period of July 1st, 2021 through June of 2022. The impact of the rate change on a bill for an average residential customer using 1,000 kilowatt hours per month is a reduction of approximately 66 cents per month. So it will go, customer bills will go down by 66 cents per month if this order is approved. And I support this order.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
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 All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
And that concludes my portfolio.
Thank you, Commissioner Crosius. So we just have a couple announcements. This afternoon we have two informals, one with Cable One VoIP LLC designated eligible carrier application, and another one, as Commissioner Crosius mentioned, with NSP on the extreme weather event and cost of gas. That's at 3 o'clock. Tomorrow, the commission has a formal hearing in Stanley for the 230 kV transmission line project that Basin Electric is proposing. And that hearing starts at 9:30 a.m. And then next week, we have 3 days kind of marked off for participation in the Williston Basin Petroleum Conference. I think at least one commissioner is on the agenda. Are you moderating a panel? Commissioner Crashes.
I hope to still be moderating a panel, as luck would have it. I've been summoned for jury duty that morning.
Wow.
If anyone has, never mind.
what is your panel on? What's the title?
Pipeline safety.
Oh,
we're going to be talking about to some of the experts on the iPipe end of it, but really internal pipeline monitoring systems in particular. So all safety related, and it involves a number of really intelligent individuals, myself excluded, of course. But I look forward to the discussion.
Excellent. That'll be a great one. Okay, and then looking out further, we did a whole series of scheduling items through our agenda today and have a few more to add, so there'll be more to come on the agenda in this summer. So with that, we'll take a brief recess to take some questions, and then good job meeting the 11, beating the 11 o'clock goal. We can discuss after questions if we want to take a break before moving into the admin portion. Any questions?